Hi, and welcome to Wild and Woke Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Susan.
Every Monday, we're going to talk about true crime, conspiracies, paranormal phenomena, and everything weird or unexplained. What are you talking about?
A little bit of everything. What are you talking about? You tell me. Tell me.
Okay. First. I'm going to talk about the Setagaya murders. This happened in Japan in 2000.
I know zero things about this.
Cool.
So I'm already excited.
Okay.
So I'm going to kind of talk about this viral social media situation. With the cheating husband, but I'm tying it into a couple of other things because honestly, like, you know, he's a cheating husband, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even really want to say his name because, like, fuck that dude in particular.
Fuck that dude in particular. That's going to go on a t-shirt.
That should go on.
Well, I'm interested to hear about it because I saw the memes, of course, and I briefly read like the original post, I think, that was made on it. But yeah. I don't know everything that's been added on to it. And like, so I'm interested.
It is a crazy story. So who are you going? I feel like you're going first this week.
I'll go first because I feel like mine's going to be kind of quick and easy.
Okay, this is not quick and easy, and honestly, it could lead to so many other discussions, so.
Okay, so, I'll go first. I'm going to talk about, well, like I said, I believe it's the Setagaya murders. It's actually a massacre, really. So, on the weekend of December 30th in the year 2000, it was just a normal weekend for the Miyazawa family, which consisted of the dad, who was 44, mom, who was 41, a daughter, who was 8, and a son, who was 6. The father worked for a marketing firm in Japan, and the mother was a teacher. They lived in Setagaya, which is like a ward of Tokyo.
Oh.
I believe ward, that would just be like a district, right? Like a district of Tokyo.
So. Yeah, I would think so.
The neighborhood where the family lived was flourishing when they purchased it in 1990, had over 200 families occupying the area. But in the year 2000, there were 4 families left, which included the 4 of them. And then in the duplex house they lived in, their mom and siblings lived on the other side. And then 2 other families lived down the street. So it just wasn't what it used to be. And that really was because directly behind their house was a skate park. And it was growing in popularity. So there was just a lot of noise and people decided they didn't want to live behind that anymore. Hmm. But the Miyazawa family lived directly behind it. Like I can link pictures. It's their house, maybe 3 foot of yard, a fence, and then the skate park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was really close. According to witness statements, the father, briefly before the murder took place, confronted 2 groups of teenagers at that skate park. One group was just actual teenagers who were being loud and disorderly. And then the other group was a group of local gang rebels. They were like a motorcycle gang. And I don't know if he knew that, and maybe he thought they were just teenagers being loud, but he did confront them, and that might have something to do with the murders, but it gets stranger the deeper we go into this murder. So the weekend of the massacre, it was the new year, and that's a super important holiday in Japanese culture. So the family was all together, everyone was home. They were seen by witnesses at 6 or 6:30 shopping together at a local grocery store. At 7 p.m. that same night, Yasuku, which is the mom, she called next door to talk to her mom, and then Nina, the daughter, spent the evening watching TV at her grandmother's house, which is just like a duplex. They were right next door to each other. So she came home around 9:30. The last recorded record of anyone in the family being up or alive was at 10:38, and that was because the father, his name is Mikio, I believe, he checked his email. It was a password protected email, so he or someone in his family, but authorities assume it was him, he had to put in his password, and that was at 10:38. So at 11:30 p.m., the killer, authorities believe at 11:30 p.m., the killer made his way into the home. He did it through the upstairs bathroom window, which is directly above that chain link fence. And there's a tree he had to climb to get into the window. He took the screen off. And I'm going to post a layout of the house. Someone drew up a really great layout because it's a Japanese style house and it is a little like different. So you come in, you come in and it's the living room, and then you go up a small set of staircases, and there's one bedroom off to the right, the left. And then the bathroom, the killer came in on the right. And then you go up, not another set of stairs, but a ladder to get to the third floor.
Like a little loft kind of. Okay.
And that's where another bedroom was. So that's kind of the rough layout. So the killer came in through the bathroom. The first bedroom he saw, he went into, and that was the six-year-old son. His name was Ray. Sure.
There are lots of things I know. Japanese pronunciation is not on the list.
No, me either. So that is the first bedroom he saw. That's the first bedroom he went into, and he strangled the child with his bare hands. Directly from there, he went out into the hallway because at that time, the one person who's still, authorities assume, awake in the house is the father. He's downstairs checking his email, finishing up on work. He hears a struggle, or really just a loud noise. I don't know if there was too much of a struggle happening. So he starts to walk up the stairs and he meets the killer in that stairway. They fight because you can tell the father fought back. But then he was eventually stabbed in the head with a sashimi knife. And the sashimi knife broke off in his head.
Do we know what kind of knife that is? Because I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's, I believe it's just like a really thin, sharp.
Is it?
I'm gonna look it up.
Can you spell it?
Sashimi?
Yeah. Like sashimi? Like raw fish sashimi?
I believe that's what that means. Yeah.
Okay. So, I think I know what you mean now. It's like the knife. It's like the super thin blade.
Yeah. So this one on Amazon is like a 10-inch, really thin, sharp blade. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, but I just wanted to make sure it was the same thing.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what he stabbed the father with in the head. And from that point, he went up the ladder, and that's where the mom and the daughter were sleeping. And he starts to attack them and then I guess realizes that he can't get far because the knife is broken. So he leaves them, goes all the way back downstairs to the kitchen, leaves the broken knife on the counter, and grabs their sashimi?
Sashimi, yeah. I think.
Sashimi knife. And by this point, the mom and the daughter are hurt, but they're not. Are you okay?
Sorry, he got the second sashimi knife.
Yeah, he got the second knife. He went upstairs, but by this point, the mom and the daughter have kind of barricaded themselves in the room. I guess they were able to pull the ladder up, so he couldn't get in. And we know that they did have some time to themselves while he was going to get that knife because the family's first aid kit was found next to the bed, and there were bloody bandages with the daughter and the mother's blood on them.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't know. We don't really know how the killer got up that ladder. We think that he was able to pull the ladder down, but the mom and the daughter, their bodies were found at the bottom of the ladder, and they had actually been stabbed more times. Well, the son wasn't even stabbed. He was strangled, but more times than anyone else in the family, way past their point of death.
Wow.
So authorities kind of assumed that the killer had a vengeance against women or just hated women in general.
Or got mad that they fought back, maybe.
Yeah. So the strangest part of the whole story is the killer stayed in the house afterward.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
That's some creepy Richard Ramirez shit.
I need to watch that.
What's so good?
Okay, don't tell me. But yeah, so that's the strangest part of the story. He stayed in there for hours, and we know this because the grandmother is the one who found the family. She tried to call, and the killer had cut the phone line, so it wasn't even ringing. She got worried. She went over there, and she rang the bell. Nobody answered. And so she had her key, and she unlocked it, and that's when she found everybody. She did call the officials, and once the officials got there and they started to collect evidence and try and figure out exactly what had happened, they realized that the killer left behind an insane amount of evidence. It's either as if he didn't care to get caught, or he was just dumb and like didn't even know what he was doing. But I'm kind of going to go over everything that he left behind. One thing he did was he logged into their computer twice. So he logged in once around 1 a.m. after he had done the killing, and he went to their already bookmarked tabs. Like, he wasn't looking for anything in particular. It's kind of like he was relishing in the fact that, like, he was looking into their lives.
Or maybe discovering that they weren't who he thought they were at all.
That could be it too. Yeah. I don't know. Really? It's really odd. So he did that at 1 a.m. and then he did it again at 10 a.m. So he was there for a long time.
Oh, he just camped out, spent the night.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Which leads a lot of people to think that he was just like a vagrant and he was just kind of passing through and needed food and shelter. And I'll kind of talk about that a little bit more when we know what else he left behind.
Okay.
Officials also, as soon as they walked into the kitchen, they were able to find both the murder weapons. So he had come back down and put both the knives on the counter. So the officials at this point are like, okay, we got him. Like, there's no way. We have everything we need. We have the murder weapon. They also found his feces in the toilet upstairs. So he had taken a shit, didn't flush, and they did testing on it and found that his last meal was a spinach and sesame dish, and he had string beans. So we know that
everything about this person.
Yeah.
Except they don't know who it is, or they do ultimately know?
No, I probably should have said this in the beginning. It's unsolved.
I kind of gathered it was unsolved, but that's weird given how much evidence there is.
They know a lot about him based on his DNA, but they don't know who he is.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this was pre-9/11. So everyone who came in and out of the country, I don't know how it is in Japan, but at least the United States, we know everything about you if you're coming into the United States. At least we hope.
I don't think we really do. Mm-hmm. But I have no idea. I just, as you're saying that, I realize I don't have any idea how other, obviously passports, but I have no idea what other countries really do.
So along with what he just ate that was left in the toilet, dirt and blood shoe prints were left throughout the whole home. Like, he had just been casually walking around. So they were left throughout the whole home. And they did find that particular shoe he was wearing was only sold in Korea at the time. So that's kind of an interesting point that led them to believe, well, maybe he's of Korean descent, or he is Korean. They also found bandages, like I said, that contained blood from the mom and the daughter, but also his bandages, which meant that he had gotten hurt in the fight with the father.
Or cut himself, or both.
Yeah. But 6 hours after the police find the scene, witnesses come forward saying that a few hours north of where the murder happened at a medical station, a man came in matching the description, someone in their 30s, with a black down jacket and jeans, came in, and he had a huge cut on his hand that went all the way down to the bone. He refused to give his name and then left immediately as soon as they bandaged it up. So
kind of like if you were stabbing somebody with a sashimi knife and you slipped.
Yep, exactly. Or he tried to fight back. It surprised officials and web sleuths who have tried to solve this over the years that there was so much evidence left behind. And like I said, it was either that he just did not care to get caught, or he didn't know that that was a thing. He napped on their couch. He ate multiple of their ice creams. Like, there were ice cream wrappers left all over the house. And the sickest part of that to me is he spent all this time in the house, but not once did he cover the bodies. Yeah, so ew.
I mean, I don't know. What the hell do I know? I guess once you stab somebody to death, maybe you're not terribly bothered by it.
Yeah, and I've always read and heard that if you cover the bodies, you have some sort of a connection with them. Like, yeah, you know them.
That's a conventional wisdom for sure, is that that's an indication of, at least of remorse.
Yeah.
Or maybe, having a connection to the victim.
By the couch where he took a nap, they found all the family's, like, credit cards and debit cards. And they think that maybe he was trying to guess their PIN codes.
Mm.
But they're also saying that they think it wasn't a robbery. He did take what added up to like $1,000 in U.S. dollars. But he also left all their jewelry. And they had money that he didn't take. So it's like he only took some of the money, which is so odd to me.
I always think it's strange, too, when they're like, it wasn't a robbery, comma, but, and I'm like, okay, but if they stole stuff, it was a robbery. Like, I don't understand why we make that distinction.
Yeah.
Unless it's just to say, like, we don't think it was, like, that was the purpose.
I think that's but the...
How on earth would you know?
Yeah. Another thing he did before he left is he gathered up all the evidence, or most of the evidence. But that also included the mom's school documents, receipts, like grocery receipts, some of the dad's work papers, his bloody bandages, and other evidence. He gathered that all and put it in the bathtub, but he didn't try and destroy it or anything. It's just like such a scattered way of thinking. And of course,
it sounds like somebody who was not thinking normally.
Right, who's someone who wasn't in their right mind. But then part of me is also, like, thinking, okay, this could be, like... So, yeah, the dad worked for a marketing firm, but nobody really knows. And his friends and family have said, like, yeah, he worked for this marketing firm, but we don't really know what he did. And I just have this, like, thought in my mind that there's... Yeah, it's a normal family, but dad's, like, mixed up in something, and this...
Maybe...
Killer's hired to come in, and he, like, stays there and, like, tries to learn about the family by going on their computer. I don't know. That's just what I thought automatically.
Well, I mean, and the other thing is things that are that, like, off the wall. I mean, it could be somebody who's not thinking clearly, but it also could be somebody who wants to appear to be someone who's not thinking clearly.
Ooh, yes.
Like, I don't want to compare it because it's not the same thing, but, like, in the Manson murders, I mean, one of the things that Manson told him is to leave some quote witchy shit in order to, like, confuse the issue of, like, who did this and why and whatever. So, like, well, all things, like the helter skelter thing, that was just, like, it was really just a misdirection.
If that did happen in this case, I mean, I think it worked because they still don't know who did it. Yeah. So along with all that evidence, the killer likely wore an outfit to the murder and then changed once he had committed the murder, because clothes were found at the home that didn't belong to the family. There was a gray hat, and they called it a crusher hat, and it just kind of has a brim all the way around.
Okay.
I had to look up crusher hat to see what that meant.
I would have too, but I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, it kind of has a brim around it. But the first thing that came to my mind is, like, because of the skate park, like a skater hat, like in the 90s, people wore the hats with, like, the little, you know. Yeah, that's immediately what came to my mind.
Yeah, I can see why.
So the gray hat, a black jacket, a white and purple long sleeve shirt, which kind of looked like a baseball style shirt. So it was white, and then it had the purple sleeves that were like 3/4 length.
Mm-hmm.
Black gloves, a multicolored scarf that didn't have any kind of tags on it, which made it unidentifiable. And a black handkerchief, which had been ironed. So,
that's a very random assortment of things, too.
It is, yeah. It's like he came in this whole outfit.
And an outfit of things that don't go together.
Right, right. So once testing was finished on all the clothing, officials said that trace amounts of the cologne Dracar Noir. Yeah, was found on the items. So I don't know much about Japanese skating culture or like anything about that or the clothing they wear. But in a lot of blogs that I read, it said that this clothing and that particular cologne is something that a skater at that time would wear. So that's
that's so randomly specific.
I know, but I wanted to like add that.
Skaters, because you know, they smell like Dracar Noir.
Well, I was thinking like, well, maybe people who are like focusing on this case live in Japan, and so they know this for a fact.
Say that's it's just such a random. I mean, like, tell me the year again. What year is it?
2000.
I mean, okay, like I just feel like that was a super popular cologne at that time.
That's. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
That's just so. It's so funny that they're like, yeah, you know, those skaters. They wear the hat.
They also
they smell like the Dracar.
I mean, I feel like people on Reddit like think that they're fucking detectives, but there was also like a whole string of posts about the dinner that the police think he had because of his feces that was left in the toilet, and everybody's like, "Oh, that is such a mama's boy food. So he has to live in his mom's basement." And it's like, How can you make that assumption?
Okay, here's the thing. If it was discovered that his last meal was like pizza rolls and stale Mountain Dew, okay, I can kind of understand. But like, maybe that's the Japanese version of Totino's pizza rolls and stale Mountain Dew. I don't know.
But I don't know either.
Weird. Like,
yeah, so I wasn't going to include that, but then you, like, I was like, well, no, I have to say it now.
Oh, no, you have to. That's fascinating.
Okay, so it's getting weirder. He's leaving all this evidence. He left, his fucking whole outfit. But he also left a hip bag, which is, like, a really fancy, like, a cargo fanny pack. Like, it's a fanny pack, but for men, because it's got pockets.
Because God knows we're not allowed to have pockets.
Right.
And
so, like I said, this is where it gets really strange, because when they did the analysis of the hip bag, they found sand in the bottom of it. And I didn't know that sand could be studied so in depth, but it can.
It's fascinating.
Where do you think that this sand originated from?
The Middle East.
Closer to us.
Okay, where?
The Edwards Air Force Base in Nevada.
Okay, so this is because in my head, the hip bag is actually a military issue hip bag.
I don't know if it was a military issue,
but that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so that's weird.
I just want to go ahead and say, though, like, that could just mean that he bought military surplus.
You need to get off my topic. That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Sorry.
Or because eBay was really big at the time, he could have bought it off eBay. But that's not something that was really thought about up until maybe like 2006, when people started to go back in and like restudy the case. Because
that makes sense.
Initially they were like, oh, he's a military or he's a contractor for the military. But then they tried to run his DNA and found nothing. And you know that if you're in the military, you're in the system.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, they couldn't find anything when they ran his DNA. So in 2006, they started to think, well, okay, the hit bag is really not as important as we thought it was, because he could have just bought it on the internet.
Yeah.
So it's been over 20 years. It is still unsolved. People are trying to solve it. I mean, the Japanese authorities are just like stumped, because they feel they had all this thrown into their lap, all this evidence that should lead to something, but it doesn't. All they know about him. And they actually recently did run his DNA. And even though they don't know who he is, they do know his mother was of Southern European descent, perhaps Hispanic, and his father is Eastern Asian. We know that he's 5'7", his shoe size is 11, and those shoes at the time were specifically sold in Korea, and his blood type is A negative. That's all we know.
That's a big shoe size for somebody who's 5'7".
Right, but his mother is... I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's like,
Because I would think that would be like a 9.
This is an unusually large shoe size for someone of that height.
And I think I'm like 90% sure it's an, what I read that it was American sizes. I don't know Korean sizes. Let me look.
I don't either. I don't have any idea. I wonder if that.
Oh, yeah, because Koreans are like 235.
Yeah.
It would be in Europe.
Your sizes aren't that different from U.S. sizes either. Like, they're a little off, but they're not that.
No. I mean, like, a 6.5.
The other way.
A 6.5 in the U.S. is a 36.5 in Europe. But it's a 235 in Korean.
So 11, that has to be U.S. sizes.
Yeah.
Because nobody else's sizes match that, right?
Yeah. They're just assuming his height based on maybe his DNA, but also, like, his clothing.
I was going to say clothes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is kind of a big shoe size, but maybe they didn't fit. Maybe he found them.
I was just about to say, I wonder if the clothes were even his. What if they weren't his at all? What if he just brought clothes and dumped them?
Right. Which is just. Okay.
Which is even weirder.
I had like three little question marks down at the bottom of things. People were talking multiple killers, potentially, because you had the small clothes, but then you had the big shoe print. But there was only one shoe print found around the whole house.
It would be awfully difficult for two people to be moving around if there's stuff to track around without both of them making prints.
Yeah. And then we already kind of talked about the vagrant looking for food and shelter, which, you know, he saw this potential window he could jump in, and then he realized there was family there, so he went through and killed them. He wasn't in his right state of mind.
Okay, but here's my only thing about that. That makes sense. If the dad is killed first, it doesn't make sense to walk straight through and strangle a 6-year-old.
You're right, yeah.
If like what you're looking for is food or and maybe the food. But we're talking about a neighborhood that already has a lot of vacant houses. So if somebody was looking for shelter, it would be all too easy to break into an empty house.
Yeah.
Looking for food makes some sense. But again, if what you're really there for is to try to steal food, like, your first thing is not going to be to walk straight into the first bedroom and kill a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Because that person is not going to stop you from doing anything.
Right. That's very true. I mean, it also kind of goes back to the theory of, well, maybe he was a hitman of sorts. Like, the dad was doing some shady business that literally nobody knew about.
Yeah. That's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's also one of those things that it's like either it's way more complicated than it seems or it's exactly as uncomplicated as it seems.
Yeah.
And for some reason, this person is just not like traceable.
I just don't. I mean, that means
that's
for
so
the.
That's so hard to believe. Even in 2000, it's very difficult to believe that somebody is that off the grid, off the books. I mean, if he's wearing shoes, of course, I mean, the shoes, he could have bought the shoes that were sold in Korea online.
And it could be possible that he has stayed out of the DNA system or whatever for so long because they think he's in his 30s in 2000, which means his parents would be deceased by now.
Most right? Likely.
When the DNA is like becoming popular and everyone's submitting their DNA, theirs is probably not in the system.
Probably not.
So if he never had kids.
True.
There's really no.
But. So. They had DNA. Did they not find it? Were there fingerprints?
I think, yeah, there were fingerprints. And I think that they tried.
So with no fingerprint matches. I mean, now I know that's. We're getting into tricky forensic territory because now they're saying that fingerprints aren't near as much of a, like, just an absolute as what we previously had kind of been told that they were.
Yeah, I believe
that. The fact that they couldn't find anybody to link the fingerprints to sounds like that person's fingerprints were never taken in an official capacity.
Right, like he's never been in trouble.
Correct.
Which, how do you commit a murder?
Never been military, never been...
Yeah.
you know, I mean, there's all sorts of teachers are fingerprinted, I think. I mean, I don't know for sure in Japan, but I mean, in a lot of places, you know, any place you work that you have to do a full background, they'll do fingerprints and stuff like that too.
Yeah, it's just a really crazy. I actually came across it because I love unsolved crimes. Like I also like solved crimes. I mean, I want to know there's that ending, but unsolved, I like the mystery about it. So when I saw this one pop up and I was like, we talked about Japan last week.
We did.
How creepy it was. And it's so true. I was like, I have to do this one. And I'll keep up with it. I have a tab of cases that I've done that are unsolved that I try and check up on every now and then. But
I love it.
That's it.
That one's fascinating just because there's so much.
There's so much there, but still.
No evidence. It's like, how did you manage to leave no evidence? But somehow it's even more interesting when there's so much evidence and still no solution.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And there was nothing, because I kind of thought like, okay, so there's all this evidence and there's no ending to the story. I was like, somehow police are involved. But I tried to do some research and nobody really thinks that. So.
Yeah, I mean, because I would think, I mean, and I don't know, this is just, I'm just kind of throwing this out there. If police are involved, you would think that what they would want to do is hide the amount of evidence that there was to make it look less suspicious. And that would be pretty easy to just be like, nope, we didn't find that. Like, magically just disappear it, as opposed to reporting, yeah, look, we have piles and piles of actual physical evidence and we still have no idea what happened.
It's crazy.
The size 11 shoe and the assumption that the murderer was 5'7" is kind of my all is not well.
Because it does.
I mean, it's not impossible. I'm sure it's not impossible. It would just be unusual to have someone who is that. I mean, because that's an inch shorter than me. Mm-hmm. And I wear like a 9.5 women's shoe, which is like a 7.5 men's shoe. Something like that.
Are you sure?
I believe that's right. I think men's sizes.
Why are all of women's sizes bigger than men's?
I'm fucking with our heads, just 24 goddamn 7.
You know what? Maybe you're right, because I'm an 8 and I think that's a 5.
Yeah, or a 6. I want to say it's 2, like it's 2 sizes lower or 1.5. But I mean, so.
Oh my God, that would mean.
Size 11, if it's a size 11 men's shoe. That's a really big footprint for somebody who's 5'7".
Yeah, if it was a women's shoe, which I feel like they would have specified.
Even still.
Yeah.
That's closer. But, I mean, usually, like, the dudes who wear size 11 shoes are usually, like, 6 feet, at least 6 feet tall.
Yeah, my husband's 6'3", and he wears a 14.
See, that kind of, like, that makes sense.
And my dad's like 5'11".
Fall over.
What?
Otherwise, he'd just fall over.
Exactly. That is really odd.
It just seems like a really large shoe size for assuming that someone is considerably shorter than, I don't know, that kind of throws me off. It makes me think that either somebody threw around a bunch of evidence in order to make it confusing, or... it was just, I mean, it could have just been somebody who was vagrant, who had, maybe they had clothes that didn't fit them and they found clothes that did.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, who knows? That's crazy though.
Yeah. That
whole story is crazy.
That's the Setagaya massacre.
Wow.
All right. So let's talk about this scumbag.
Let's talk about the scumbag.
Fuck that dude in particular.
Fuck that dude in particular. So this whole thing, probably a lot of y'all have already read some of this, heard some of this, seen some of this. But basically, the short version is that last week there was a social media post involving a serial cheater that went viral. He was a police chief, as well as a minister, a husband, and a father of 4. it came to light that in addition to his current wife, he has an ex-wife, multiple fiancés, as well as several additional girlfriends, and even more women have come forward to say that they have dated him, if only just briefly. Some of them actually said that they had some of the same concerns, which is why they just stopped talking to him. But none of them, they just decided he was a scumbag and stopped talking to him. They didn't, as far as I could tell, no one, up until last week, no one had, like, tried to expose him.
Yeah.
Since this all came out last week, he has been arrested by the Texas Rangers for investigation.
Huh? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. This all took place in the Texas Panhandle, by the way. Well, some of their girlfriends live in other states. He was in the Texas Panhandle.
Do you know what? I'm sorry. Before you go on, do you know what my favorite thing about this is? That meme that says, like, if your man ever tells you he doesn't have time for you, just remember Jason Collier and his 15 girlfriends. What? Here. One wife, three fiancés, 15 girlfriends, a ministry. He was a police chief. Oh. And something else.
And four kids.
Four kids.
Look, before I even go on with the story, my thing is, like, sir, do you genuinely never just want to fucking sleep in?
Did you see?
The fucking effort that has to go into keeping that many women on the hook at various levels.
How do you not notice that as a wife? I'm not blaming her at all, but I tried to think about, like, before Rich stopped working, he would go in at 7 and come home at, like, 6.
Well, I will say he's a police chief.
So he has more freedom.
So his hours aren't going to be normal.
Yeah. And he's in his car all day.
He was driving to another city while on duty in his police cruiser to visit the girlfriend in a different part of the panhandle.
Did you also see, I'm going to let you get back to your story, but did you also see where he just lost like 100 something pounds?
I heard something about that. But I didn't, one of my
friends, a before and after picture.
One of my friends went all the way down the rabbit hole to the point that I was like,
are you okay?
You found the bottom of the rabbit hole. It's time to back away. You've gone too far.
I didn't, mainly because I was like, he's a scumbag. I'm going to hate him even more than I already do.
I went a little ways into the rabbit hole and then kind of came to the conclusion that's like, he's so unremarkable that while I want to talk about him because it was a viral story, I have a different reason. So since then, he's been arrested by the Texas Rangers for investigation of, quote, tampering with a governmental record with the intent to defraud, which is a felony, according to Sergeant Cindy Barkley of the Texas Department of Public Safety, which is who the Texas Rangers work under. Mm-hmm. So why is he important? He's not. He's not important at all. I'm not really interested in this story because of him, which is why I really don't even like, I'm just not even interested in making a big deal about who he is. Everybody already knows who he is. But the person who is important in this situation is Cecily Steinmetz. She is the woman who was one of the fiancés who realized not all was right in Whoville with her engagement. She saw that there were red flags. She confirmed her suspicions, and then she went public. And when I say she went public, my girl went as public as she could. She posted this on her own social media, but she also posted the story as a do not recommend review on the page of the city of Stinnett, Texas, to make sure that everyone knew who exactly was in charge of their police department.
Oh my God, that is my type of girl. That is the level of shit I would do.
This, reading her, I was just like, this girl right here, she knows what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So parts of the story are funny, right? Like, it's funny that she busted him out so hard, for one thing. It's also kind of funny that part of the story is that these women discovering how similar, like how similar their interactions with him were, to the point that he bought multiple women coffee makers as engagement gifts so that he could have coffee at their houses.
You need to shut up. That is not true.
Oh, that's true. Same coffee maker as well, as far as I could tell.
This man, what was his sign?
Hell, I don't know.
Okay, we need to find that out.
Loser?
I mean, of course, like, this has nothing to do with your sign, but I just need to know, like, I need to know. You keep talking.
Okay, you find a sign. So, he also made an apology video, which Cecily immediately posted publicly. Which, again, I'm like, this girl right here knows. It's funny in a, like, who the hell does he think he's fooling kind of way. However, it was the apology video that got me, as well as a lot of the internet, thinking about who he reminds us of. And the comparisons are disturbing. His affect is flat. None of what he's saying connects with his eyes at all.
How long is the video? Can we play it?
We could probably play it. I don't have it pulled up.
I'm going to find it.
We can definitely play it. And we can definitely link it, I think.
Do you want to just hold on a second while I find it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a Libra.
I feel like that weirdly makes sense. But that could just be me being like, well, of course he is. Like, it wouldn't have mattered.
Fuck that dude. Of course he is.
Fuck that dude in particular. I don't think I've listened to it. It wasn't super long.
43 seconds, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we can play that.
Okay. Turn my phone up. Hopefully my phone doesn't die. It's at 1%. Okay.
Sorry. Didn't mean to hide anything or lie to you. Sorry. So sorry. Please.
121 Eddie. What's your 20?
I just want you to forgive me. I'm sorry.
Winston, we'll be in the alley between the
airplane and the back of the
airplane. I'm sorry. Are you kidding me?
So that's actually, there was a little bit longer video at some point that, at the very beginning, one of the things that he says is, I just feel like shit. And that's kind of the thing, like, you can hear, you can hear, even without seeing the video connected with his voice, it's just so flat. And he kind of sniffles and, like,
he rolls his eyes a little bit, like, it's, like, someone's, like, he doesn't want to make this video, but he feels like he has to.
But he kind of, like, sounds like, it's like he's trying to sound sad and remorseful, mm-hmm. but he doesn't come across that way at all. Like, his words, what he's saying and the way he's trying to come across doesn't match the way he comes across. Like, he said, like you heard, he says, I'm sorry so many times, but he doesn't say what he's sorry for.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how he feels. Like, he feels like shit, he wants to be forgiven. And then he lies while he's talking by saying, I never meant to lie. He clearly meant to fucking lie.
Yeah.
Like, saying, I didn't mean to lie, when the lies are so big, you did mean to lie. Like, you're lying while you're apologizing for lying.
It just screams narcissist to me.
Bingo. It really just sounds like he never intended to be caught. It also struck me, and this could be partially because this is a clip of a larger video, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it struck me that he doesn't say who he's apologizing to.
Yeah.
So my immediate thought is, you sent the same video apologizing to how many women?
Oh my God.
How many of them got the same apology video? Because they have confirmed that some of the videos that one of them had, he had sent to multiple of them. same pictures that he had sent to different women.
Mm-mm.
So to a lot of people, his demeanor and the appearance of narcissism looked a lot like Chris Watts, who also had prior to, so I'm sure everybody knows Chris Watts was confessed to and was convicted of murdering his pregnant wife and his two young children in 2018. He also had lost a significant amount of weight before he ended up with the mistress.
Men are weak.
So since we both mentioned narcissism, which is exactly what this comes across as, the psychological definition of narcissism is selfishness involving a sense of entitlement, a lack of empathy, and a need for admiration, which is clearly what he's seeking, what these guys are seeking out. I mean, this dude needed so much affirmation that he was willing to spend what I imagine must be every moment of his time trying to maintain all of these relationships and not get caught. I want to talk a little bit about Chris Watts just because the comparisons are really interesting. So Watts initially reported his family missing and appeared on TV begging for their safe return. But he was living a double life with a mistress whose name is Nicole. He had told her that he was in the process of getting a divorce. He left out the fact that his wife, Shanann, was pregnant with their third child and was completely unaware that he had any intention of ending their relationship. Nicole learned those details after he told her that his family was missing. She said the day that they went missing started out totally normal, with him sending normal kind of messages, making no mention of what had happened at home, and just telling her he had been busy. Finally, late in the afternoon, he told her that he had been busy because his family was missing. And then not until that night did he, and this is all according to her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know there's a Netflix show about him and I have not watched it because, again, I don't really give these dudes much time.
I watched it and it's good if you want to know more about the case.
Okay. But, I know a lot of people have some suspicions that the mistress knew more than what she said she knew. And I don't. I have no way of knowing whether that's the case or not. So we're just going to go with what she says. And I mean, they did use her coming forward was one of the reasons that they were able to get a confession from him because she had so much evidence. So,
yeah.
So he finally talks to her that night and gives her his version of events. But she was already suspicious because at this point she's found out through the media involvement that Shanann was pregnant, which she did not know. And she said that this is her quote, "I thought if he was able to lie to me and hide something that big, what else was he lying about?"
Mm-hmm.
So she actually continued pressing him for more details, asking, was there a sign of forced entry? Where were the girls' car seats? What about their medication? And he would eventually confess. And when he did, he said, quote, "All I could feel was now I was free to be with Nikki. Feelings of my love for her was overcoming me and I felt no remorse." Exactly.
Physically barf.
So ultimately, Nicole did take this information. She did contact authorities when she started really being concerned. I guess that same day. I don't know if she contacted them the same day but it was fairly soon. And they were able to use the information she had to help them get his confession. Sources claim she is now in witness protection, and one insider said she's received several threats, public shaming, and could be considered one of the most hated women in America. She has plans to start fresh with a new name, new town, and a whole new identity.
I don't understand that.
Witness protection, or if she was just going to disappear. I couldn't really determine if she was truly like in the federal witness protection program.
Yeah.
Or if she was just like planning to change her identity. So unfortunately, the thing is that these cases are just so common. Mm-hmm. Scott Peterson is in prison in California for the 2002 murder of his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son. Evidence given by his mistress was integral into getting that conviction, though he remains insistent that he's not guilty. Drew Peterson, no relation to Scott somehow, is a former police officer who was convicted of the murder of his third wife, Kathleen Savio, in 2003. The evidence of that crime was brought to light when his current, I'm putting a question mark with current wife, because she's still officially missing. So I guess technically they're still married. I don't really know. Stacy went missing in 2007. So the investigation into her disappearance is what brought to light the information that led to him being convicted of the previous wife's murder. There has been no trace of Stacy since her disappearance, and Drew Peterson is strongly suspected to be responsible for her presumed death, though there hasn't ever been enough evidence discovered to prove guilt or even indict him.
Yeah.
There are so many of these, though, that like it would be impossible to even talk about all of them. And these types of cases were the inspiration for Gillian Flynn's novel, which is also a movie, Gone Girl.
My favorite.
So good. In that story, the wife discovers the husband is cheating and then just uses the all too common trope of the cheating slash murdering husband to frame her husband for murder so she can disappear. And that story works so well because we've gotten so used to the idea that women are in danger of being killed by cheating husbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheating, lying, sneaking husbands. And that's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Now, has Jason's wife, has she come out and said anything about this?
We're going to cut that. Her family's asking that we not mention, that no one mention her name.
Oh.
His current wife, though, she's not said anything publicly. Her family confirmed that she had had to leave their house with the kids and go to stay with family somewhere else because she felt threatened and the kids, she was concerned about the kids' safety because apparently people, because he's the police chief, it was very easy to find out where he lived and people were driving by the house and throwing things at the house, which, like, I kind of understand the hate for him. Yeah. I don't understand not understanding that, like, this dude's not going to be the one that has to deal with that shit.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is, at least with the Chris Watts case, I noticed there was a lot of men who were like, well, maybe she shouldn't have got pregnant, or maybe she shouldn't be so controlling with sex. Like,
there 100% is a Facebook group for this jackass in the panhandle, like in support of him. I'm like, how do you, it's like, there's not really, it's pretty clear that this is all stuff he did.
Yeah. I told my husband about this case and
did you?
He immediately was like, men are trash. I was like, I'm so glad that you understand that. Exactly. And then I felt kind of bad. I was like, have I brainwashed you? Like, would you have said that before? And he's like, yes, I've known since I was like young that men are trash.
Here's my thing about that, because I know that immediately, like in a lot of cases, brings the not all men response.
Yeah.
Look, we know. Okay. Mm-hmm. We know it's not all men. I think it's just the concept more of like the idea that men are allowed to get away with a lot of things.
Yes.
And that leads to the ones who are trash people mm-hmm. thinking that they will get away with it.
Right.
So my takeaway from this whole situation is be a Cecily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the cheating chief was necessarily destined to murder anybody. There's no way to know. Yeah. But what I am saying is that in this case, as far as we know, nobody was physically hurt, but somebody was paying enough attention to question it when things seemed off before anything got that far.
Yeah.
She discovered information that indicated he might still be married and questioned him. When she questioned him, he provided her with what he claimed were annulment papers, but she didn't take it at face value. She contacted the county that they were supposedly filed in and was told by the county that the document was fake. They told her that the cause number did not match what their numbers would even look like, nor did they have any record for his name or anything related to what he supposedly told her were annulment papers, which is what is reported to be what led to him being arrested.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think I don't know if I said it. He obviously has since resigned, predictably. Yeah. I don't think he had much choice, but he did resign. And my thing is, you know, there's no way to know where this story could have ended up going if it hadn't been for this one woman who was willing to put her own hurt and embarrassment out in the public to see and ultimately discover that not only she didn't know when she did this, that he had three other fiancés and 15 other girlfriends or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. She didn't know that it was more than just her. She discovered this as more and more women were like, oh, oops, guess I'm one of those.
Yeah.
So, and I just do want to say for the record, she has absolutely no reason to be embarrassed.
Mm-mm.
And for whatever it's worth, if she happens to hear this, ma'am, you are solidly two leagues out of his reach.
In oh, the for sure. Place.
Like,
ugh.
Look, I'm not sure what he said. She did also, she and one of the other fiancés talked about the fact that they both had experienced what's called love bombing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just basically like kind of an over the top affection, but like gifts and just too much.
You know what else that reminds me of?
Hmm.
Dirty John.
I thought the same thing too. There are so many.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's very similar. He did a lot of the same things as far as like having, you know, quote, proof of things, which if you're already playing, I mean, here's the thing. If somebody like has on demand for you proof of something when you're suspicious, be suspicious that they automatically have something that they would be like, oh, I can prove that it's true.
And it makes me think that she had a gut feeling, because why would she question her fiancé like that?
I tried to figure out like what, as far as I could tell, there was a friend of a friend who saw her picture when she posted their engagement picture,
mm-hmm.
that someone recognized him who knows his current wife.
What a dumbass.
What a dumbass. In fact, the first comment that in that thread, like of that picture, because when she posted the picture, like the first handful of comments are just like her friends saying, oh, you guys are so cute. Congratulations, whatever. The first comment that indicates that something's wrong is her commenting and saying something like, you should probably have made sure that no one has mutual friends with your wife. So I think that might have been what tipped her off. I mean, you know, he was explaining things away by being on duty. Oh, I have to go. I'm on special assignment to go help with protests in Portland. Oh, I have to go to Kansas to testify in a parole hearing. And that's somewhat believable.
Everything about him is little dick energy.
Such little dick energy.
You know, I don't even want to talk about him anymore.
Pissed off. This is why I went so back and forth, because part of me is like, it's important to talk about.
I think it is.
I think the important part to talk about is like, look, if you have red flags, check that shit out.
And trust your gut. Women have an intuition that men do not have.
And like, this is how, I'm going to quote Georgia and Karen and say, this is how we stay sexy and don't get murdered.
Exactly.
Because, like I said, there's absolutely no indication that this dude, as far as I could tell, there's no indication he's ever been violent. Whatever.
But there was no indication with a lot of men, and they just snapped.
Exactly. Well, and it's not even so much snapped. It's more like, I have to do this now because if I don't, I'm not going to get to do what I ultimately want to do. Just like right. Chris Watts saying, I didn't feel remorse. I just felt free to be with the person I wanted to be with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sir, file for divorce. Mm. Like, it's not, you can. It's.
You can file for divorce and then say, I don't want the kids.
Here's the deal. Marriage is a contract that has an automatic built-in pre-written escape clause.
Mm-hmm.
You can file for divorce. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to kill women to get away from them. You do not. But that's things like this with him being so willing to tell so many lies and so sure that he was not going to get caught. Oh my God. Sure.
I feel so bad for his wife.
I feel bad for his wife.
I mean, everyone. I
feel bad for his children. I mean, not to mention the children of the women he was in relationships with.
Ugh.
Because that's a so whole bad. Other, like, realm of... Anyway, like I said...
He must have had to sweet talk his way in because he's not an attractive man.
My mom asked, she's like, what does he look like? I was like, I mean... He doesn't look like...
He's average. Like he's less than average, honestly.
Like somebody that you could have walked by and just paid absolutely zero attention to. He's not terribly unattractive, but he's certainly not like head turning.
No, it's the jacked up teeth for me.
You know what? I didn't look that closely.
I'm such a teeth person. Like,
the only thing that I noticed was I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, good. You grew the beard.
Like, when men get a beard, they think they're like...
That's so funny because my friend who went way too far down the rabbit hole was like, she used the term vanity beard. And I was like, is this a thing?
Well, he lost all the weight and grew a beard, so...
I guess so. I mean, I don't know. Like I
you
said,
know what happened? Have you ever heard?
It's not like he's somebody that you would notice and be like, well, that's unfortunate. He's terribly unattractive. You just wouldn't even notice him in a crowd.
Have you ever heard that every 40 pounds men lose, they gain inches on their dick? And here's what happened.
Is this just in their head?
I mean, no, it for real happens.
Okay.
He lost weight, and he thought his dick got bigger.
Like I said, it's just in his head. Like, just because you can see
more
of it?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I mean, my thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, it doesn't like grow inches. It's just more right. of it is in there.
So I also have this theory about exceptionally tall men. Your husband, perhaps not included. Rich, we'll go ahead and give you a pass. For every inch over 6 feet tall, that gives them like this much more leeway to be a royal fucking pain in the ass.
No, that's true.
It's true. Like. The taller they are, the more they're like, I am so going to get away with whatever bullshit I want to pull.
I'm not going to blame women at all for this. It's just society.
It is society. And I mean, and just tall the idea that are them like, being tall, like being not just tall, but like over 6 feet, which I consider to me 6 feet tall, like that's tall.
Yeah.
Over 6 feet tall is like exceptionally tall. So like the more exceptionally tall they are, they somehow think that exceptionally also just goes in front of them, like, I'm exceptional because I happen to grow more inches tall than you did. And I'm just here to say that that's bullshit. So, yeah. Y'all need to cut that shit out.
And again, not all men, but most
no,
men.
No, but if you have a husband, significant other, brother, whatever, that is over 6 feet tall, just take him down a peg or two every now and then. Just remind him, like, hey.
You ain't shit.
You happen to get taller than other people. Get over it.
Man, I'm glad. So I hate everything about this, but I'm glad you went over it. I'm glad you showed us those comparisons.
Yeah, it just, like I said, that it's the flat affectation and just the fact that he doesn't have, like, he's sorry that he got caught.
Yeah.
He's not sorry. Pretty clear. I didn't mean to lie.
That's exactly what you did.
How do you accidentally send somebody fake annulment papers?
That's how do you accidentally have 3 fiancés, 1 wife, and 15 girlfriends?
Never mind. I mean, so I know that he's buying coffee makers for women, just willy-nilly. And look, I appreciate a good cup of coffee as much, if not more than the next person. So I sort of understand where he's coming from, but like, were these engagement coffee makers? Like, was this instead of a ring? If so, weird. If not, where the fuck was he getting the money to buy all these engagement rings?
Ooh, good question. Maybe they were fake.
Maybe they are. I mean,
because if you don't know, like, I didn't know shit about diamonds before I got engaged, and then we went in to pick out my ring, and I was like, "There's more than one kind."
Yeah. When I was married, my ring was actually lab created because I'm like,
you were married.
Yeah.
Susan.
I haven't been married in like 10 years, so.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that.
Frankly, it doesn't. It's like so not a part of my life.
Well, now I know. Just now threw that into the conversation.
But yeah, my ring was lab created diamond because I'm like, I don't want a diamond. I don't want to wear a ring that costs as much as my fucking car.
Stacks right there. No.
But at the same time, like, I mean, but 3 engagement rings, even 3 cheap engagement rings.
But I mean, he could have got it from Walmart. What do those girls know?
I don't know.
Did they even get rings? We don't know.
I have questions. I mean, first of all, we know he was using city time and city resources to drive to a different city to visit a girlfriend. So my thing is like, what else were you doing?
He was probably doing so much because you don't just lie about one thing.
Correct.
You lie. If you're that deep, you're lying about everything.
And here's the crazy thing. It appears that all of this lying started like last fall.
Holy shit. So like, where was he meeting these women?
It appears to me because I saw one, I saw a thing that showed something from a dating app. Mm-hmm. It appears to me he was on a dating app.
Mm-mm. It's too easy.
How can you be so dumb? How can you think that as the chief of police, as a recognizable person,
people know you're married and have kids?
Oh, wait, I left this out. It's not really that important, but it is interesting. So when they like announced him becoming chief, which by the way was also, well, no, I take that back. Was it just this? I want to say some of this was in 2019. I've read too many different things that say different things. And part of that's just because all of this shit literally came out last week.
Yeah.
He became chief in Stinnett just this past November. So when that release came out, when it was like the welcoming him or whatever, it mentioned him having a wife and 4 children. And their Facebook, this police department's Facebook, which by the way, his Facebook is now gone and the police department's Facebook is now completely gone.
I'm going to come back to Facebook. Remind me about that. Okay.
Okay. But on the Facebook, so apparently he had access to control the Facebook. Like he was the admin. So he went in and edited the original post that mentioned his wife and children to take that information out.
Wow.
Little buddy was scrambling.
He was. Also, I need to know from if you're a cheater, I'll keep it anonymous. Contact me just so I can ask you a question. How do you keep your shit secret on Facebook? Because I guarantee you, if I was to get a boyfriend, the first thing I would do is look him up on Facebook. How did he not have his family on his Facebook? And as a wife, how do you not? I have so many questions.
I heard one thing, and I'm gonna preface this by saying I don't know for sure that this is the case. It's just again, there's a lot of information. It's flying really quickly. I did read one thing that indicated that the current wife had been a mistress when he was married to the previous wife, which you would think would make her just that much more fucking suspicious. If that's true, you would think she'd be like, oh, I recognize this bullshit because I saw it from the other side. And maybe that, I don't know. I just, like I said, my whole thing about, the more I read about this, the more I'm like, look, maintaining one relationship is hard enough. Mm-hmm. It is complicated enough to just, look.
It's exhausting.
We've said a lot of shit about men, but here's what I'm going to say about women. Keeping one woman happy, it's a lot. We're a lot.
We are.
Sure, fucking joy and delightment, but we're also a lot.
Even the ones who are more low-key like me, it still takes a lot.
Girl, me too. There's a lot of things that I am super low-key about, but I also recognize I'm still a lot. I have no particular affinity for expensive jewelry or expensive much of anything, really. Yeah. But look, when I wake up at 3 a.m. and I decide that, like, this is the moment that we're driving to New Orleans and we can be there in time for beignets at breakfast, I realize that not everyone can just be like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. I'm a lot.
That You're is a lot.
A lot. The fact that these dudes choose to try to keep 15 fucking women happy at the same time, like, dude, you're just setting yourself up for terrible failure. And also, you seriously don't ever just want to, like, sleep in, not have to text 15 people good morning?
Or just have to have that. And he probably didn't have the guilt, but I would.
I guess he probably didn't have the guilt, but I mean, just the practicality. Forget the rest of it. The practicality. Like, you don't wake up some mornings and just think, I don't particularly want to talk to another human being today.
God, I think that every day.
I don't always, but even, I mean, I have some days that I'm just like, I just hope no one talks to me today because I just don't have the energy for other humans. And I cannot imagine waking up feeling that way and then being like, but if I'm going to maintain this entire web of bullshit that I have built, I am going to have to keep 15 women happy all day today. Also, I'm probably only going to actually see two of them, maybe. Mm. So the others, I'm going to have to somehow keep happy while not in the same place they are. Like,
scumbag.
For him. I feel like the first good night's sleep he got, although he didn't stay in jail long enough to sleep, so never mind.
He was having sex with all these different women. He didn't care about sleep.
We're just assuming that. I mean, it's an assumption I made, but I don't know that for sure. It's just, there's so much. And like I said, it's the biggest issue is that my immediate thought was, did her coming out with this and, like, making sure that it went public prevent there from being something worse that ultimately happened in this whole situation?
I think that's the most important thing at the,
And like I said, the takeaway is be like Cecily. Mm-hmm. Be the person, man or woman, I don't care. Be the person that's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This does not seem right. And I need more information.
Yeah, I will always be that person.
Me too.
Okay, I'm going to do our outro really quick. Do you have anything else you want to add about your case or my case?
No, I think we more than covered mine because we just, which I knew, like I said, it's going to prompt so many discussions.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for the continued support. Please find and follow us at Wild and Woke Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/Wild and Woke Podcast. If you're looking for bonus content, early episode releases, and free merch, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Wild and Woke Podcast. If you have any weird, creepy, or wow, I can't believe this fucking happened moments, please reach out because we want to share them. WildandWokePodcast@gmail.com.
Also, if you're listening and you want to be a sponsor, we're currently accepting sponsorship applications.
We are, preferably HelloFresh so we can get free food.
Yeah, or, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of things.
I want a new bra from Third Love. I'm just saying.
Zinni Optical. My glasses are all from Zinni, and I already should probably be sponsored by you guys just for the number of links I send out to people. But remember, all stories start somewhere. Be wild, stay woke, and question everything.